crazy that it's been a blessed, it's been a blessed little time for me, personally. I have certainly felt the blessings of the Lord. I've certainly felt the presence in my life. I have felt His hand working in my life. And I didn't do it. Get it. But warning. As a matter of fact, everything that I have been doing is the exact opposite of what I should be doing. And I believe that is the power of God, the God that we serve, that can pick you up from where you are, because what we are, you're not going to like me when I tell you what we are, but I believe that most of you know what we are, and that's with no good, with no count. We're wrong, we're vile, pick a bad word and run with it. And that's what we are. To our nature. But we have a God who gave us life and loved us enough to not just give us natural life, but to give us eternal life and secure it and keep it, because He knows we're not capable of doing it on our own. So not only did He give us eternal life by sending His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, but He also has blessed our life here on this earth as we walk from day to day. And for the eternal life alone, we have so much just in that alone to be grateful for and thankful for, that if we lived outside underneath of a bush and got fed by whatever happened to come along our way, and God kept us alive, we have enough right there to be thankful for that we should never ever murmur or complain. But He didn't just take care of one part and leave something up to us. Aren't you glad? I am. Because if it would have been left up to me, it's almost like, even when I would do good, I find evil present with everything I do. So nothing I do is going to be good. Nothing I do is going to be right. Anything that I do is going to be imperfect. It's never going to be good enough. On my best day, with the right amount of sleep, and I get up and I brush my teeth, and I wash my face, and I put on my best clothes, I wore my best filthy rags into the building. And that's where I'm at. And I don't know if the good Lord blessed me to say anything else tonight, but I know He's been good to me, and I'm here to tell you that He has been good to me. And I believe that we can all look at each other and say He's been good to me too. Because none of this is anything that I deserve or we deserve. But He's gracious. And He's merciful. I've been thinking a lot about walnuts. And I know that sounds like a weird turn, but for those who don't know, I just got married. And she's got me doing all kinds of things I've never done before. Which is fun, and it's good, and it's of the Lord. But she's got me picking up sticks and breaking big sticks into little sticks and putting them in boxes, doing that sort of thing. And we spent some time on our honeymoon this week. That's what we're calling it, right? We spent some time out in God's creation. And I would tell you that if you haven't taken your time to just walk out and spend some time in God's creation, this is the best time of year. All times of year are good times of year, but there's so many things happening right now. And the seasons are changing. The temperature is good. It's not too hot. And he's put all kinds of things out there for us to look at that are way better than what's coming across our TVs and our computers and our telephones, all that. He's given us so much to look at that you can just go out and see, that you can just go out and touch and witness for yourself and look at the systems and the processes that are in place and go, God designed that. It's like when you look at an automobile or you look at something that you are aware of who the manufacturer is, when you walk outside, you know who made it because you can see his handiwork. And you can see the similarities in the designs and the processes and how things work and what he's given to just the creatures of the earth and how he sets the ants in motion or tells the squirrels when to go grab whatever, right? Back to the walk. Because God shows you things sometimes, I believe, when you're not looking for them. We know he's spoken to us in parables because we're not fully capable of understanding how things are, and he used those parables to help explain things to us. But I'm out here, and what we were doing with these walnuts, we were harvesting these walnuts. Most of the time when I was a kid, we used to just pick them up, throw them like baseballs, or kick them or whatever. I never actually harvested a walnut. So, well, I know most, probably maybe some of you have, maybe some of you haven't. But walnuts have this, they're hanging on this tree. They grow on a tree. You can see the fruit of the tree, which automatically, when you think of fruit and trees, you think of, I think of the Word of God, and I think of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Or I think of the type of fruit that we see, which shows us the evidences of how things are, whether things are alive or living or good or bad or otherwise. These walnuts, they're just kind of hanging out until the wind blows, and then they fall to the ground with a big old thud. And they sit there, and some roll and go this way, and some roll down the hill. Some end up in different places. They don't always just land and stick. They'll land and roll. They'll land depending on where they are. And they're scattered about everywhere. And I look at that and I think of God's people. Because I look around and I know that God has a people in every nation, kindred, tongue, people that are more innumerable than the stars of the sky or the sands of the seashore. Not everybody's hearing it, are they? Because when we look around where we are in here tonight, I believe we're all God's people in here tonight, but I don't believe this is all God's people. God's people are all over the place. They're all scattered out. Right? We're kind of mixed in there, sometimes with other people that may not believe or may not have been blessed or may not have been part of the elect family of God, which we have been chosen to. Again, no merit of our own. But that's kind of like these walnuts, because these walnuts, see, they lay on the ground, and some of them have a shell. They have a shell, an outer shell. And sometimes that outer shell looks really nice, clean, and big. And sometimes that outer shell is got a big old hole in it, and it's black, and it's leaking that walnut stuff, and it just doesn't look, I wouldn't think that would be a good walnut, just looking at it. But they have blemishes, they have different characteristics, but they're all walnut. But you can't really tell about the fruit of that walnut. You can't tell if that's a good walnut just by looking at the outer shell. That outer shell might be nice and green and big and round, and then you get in there and you got an inner shell. And then inside of that inner shell, you got potential to actually get the walnut that you eat, and you got potential for that thing to be hard and dried up. Now, us as human beings, we have to crack the outer shell. We got to remove. That's a process, y'all. I would tell you, I never knew that. We had to run over those things with the truck, right? We had to run over those shells with the truck just to get to the little shells. And sometimes that broke the little shells open, but sometimes you had hit them with a hammer. The good Lord looks right through those shells. He doesn't need to do all that work to know the inside of our heart. He knows exactly what kind of fruit we have and whether we're a good nut and a bad nut, and he gathers up all the good nuts. And that's what he's done with us, is he's gathering up us. He gathers us up, and he brings us together. I'll read a little scripture, and I'll try to give way as I've given my walnut. I believe that's where we are, and I believe that I was blessed to see and think about those things, and I wanted to share that with you, so I hope it was okay. The 147th Psalm. First verse says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is coming. Praise ye the Lord. That is not a suggestion. That is not good advice. It sounds great, but it is a commandment of God. It comes from the Hebrew hallelujah, to praise Yah the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. That means it's the right thing to do. It is what we have been commanded to do. It is good. Because if it's not good, it's bad. There's really not a whole lot of wishy-washiness or halfway with God. It is you or you or not. And I believe he speaks very plain there. Because it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant. Not only is it good for us, and sometimes we can find ourselves doing things out of duty, because that's what we were supposed to do. And we will find ourselves just doing things for the sake of duty. Well, truthfully, doing things just for the sake of duty does not make them good. That's actually bad. Right. Because what we're supposed to do is willingly serve our God for all of the things that he has done for us. And in so doing, because it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, meaning it goes back to that delighting in the law of the Lord. In doing good, if I do good and I'm obedient, I will find that the more obedient I am, the more I find I like being obedient. It becomes something I enjoy doing. And praise is comely. Meaning, the Lord, that's why we are made. That's why people say, what is your purpose on this earth? What is the meaning of life? Brethren, I'm here to tell you what the meaning of life is. Let's turn, if we can, to the first chapter of John, the Gospel of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. We are talking about the eternal Son of God, Christ Jesus, who has always been from the time of God. That's what it says. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the life of men. Meaning that's every good thing, every fruit of the Spirit that was of any value, of any good, came from that light and the giver of life, Christ Jesus. We go over to Colossians, 1st chapter, 16th verse. We'll see again. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In the last scripture I'll read, because again, what I'm trying to tell you here is we were put on this earth and designed to be to the glory and praise of God. That, brethren, is the meaning of our life and the purpose of what we are here for. Ephesians 1, I'll read 11 through 14. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He did that because he wanted. He made choice of us. He chose us. Not because we were large in number, not because we were good, not because he looked down and saw we had a good heart. No. He didn't see any of that. He chose the people. He loved his people. And every one of those people that he died for, the elect family of God on the cross, he will come and gather all of those people home at the appointed time upon his return. And every one of those people from every one of his elect family of God, from at some point between conception and the grave, he will make himself known unto them. But I want to hit verse 12. Again, I'm going back. What is our purpose? That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, that down payment, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory, which at one point in time he comes back and calls us home, and our lives become complete and full in the fullness and power that we only see right now through a glass darkly. But brethren, do not take this assembling of ourselves for granted, because every time we meet here, we are blessed have a little piece of heaven right here on earth that he's provided for us. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so many blessings to be thankful for. Let us always look to him, and let us always praise his name in everything that we do. Let our walk be that way. Let our talk be that way. Let our actions be that way. Let our prayers be that way. Because it's good. You will find pleasure in it. Bless you. There are blessings in obedience. Read the book. Read the word. Study the word. It's in there. I promise you it's in there. I wish I could have talked to you more about it and told you more about it a little bit better than what I did tonight. But if there's anything that was of any benefit, give all of that praise and honor and glory to God. If I said anything out loud, I'm sorry. God bless you. Pray for me when you have a
saved a wretch like me. thank the good Lord for a good song service and for a sweet time of being able to meet each one of you tonight and have you as dear friends in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. Praising the Lord is common, beautiful, and something when you see God's little children gathered together at the house of God, it's a day in his courts better than a thousand. That is a day in his fellowship and a day where we get to sing praises to him, hear from his word, and read together, pray together, weep together, laugh together, and the worship of God and feel his manifest presence. We can feel a moment of time like that here in this world. It's more valuable than all the other stuff that men value and put so much importance upon. And I don't say just them, I say me. I want to do better. I want to recognize what's most important. Got a lot out of that walnut lesson. We didn't do much with walnuts, so we know a lot more about walnuts than I do. Anyway, it is true that we have to crack them open and see what's on the inside. The Lord knows already. That really falls in line with the text that was on my mind tonight. I have, because of the familiarity of the text, I've been a bit hesitant to go here. But when the Lord takes everything else from you, and where you don't really have anything else other than what he gives you, it's good to have that. But sometimes when I try to pick up something and bring it, I might feel like it's going to be a value to you, but it really won't be. But I feel better about it as I heard about the walnut lesson and all that was there. It's in the book of Hebrews, if you have your Bibles, in chapter 4. In Hebrews 4, the beginning of that chapter talks about us fearing about not entering to a rest or coming short of the rest that the Lord has left for us here in this world as God's children. We know this, that there's an eternal rest that's awaiting God's people, that none of God's people will ever come short of.
Right.
We can be assured of that because that rest was never left up for us to labor to enter into or for us to do something in order to merit that or gain it. We know that our salvation eternally is by and through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, by grace that we're saved. And that eternal rest is something every little child of grace is going to enjoy, where we'll be with the Lord eternally, where we'll have sweet fellowship with him as eternity rolls and as the year, I say years, how do you express eternal things? How do you say anything about that? It's, you know, it's one eternal day. When we've been there 10,000 years, with no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And we know that every little heir promise will be glorified. Everyone that God loved, everyone that he foreknew, he predestinated, he prefixed their destiny, and he calls them effectually, and he justifies them, pays the sin debt for them, he did that at Calvary, that's a finished work. He said it is finished, it's complete, it's done, and they will have the fulfillment of that when the Lord comes again. We will be made like unto him, body, soul, and spirit. That'll happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you and I can be at peace about that and at rest about that tonight, that rest will never lose. That's an eternal rest that's awaiting us. It's an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. That is, you that are God's children, you that are God's elect, you that the Lord knew, foreknew, forelove, even before the foundation of the world, and the foundation of God standeth sure in that dust. That's sure.
Amen.
The foundation of God, how firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. That foundation standeth sure, having this seal, it's sealed. The Lord knoweth. He knows them that are his. And there's nothing that's going to change that. You know how many of God's children tonight don't really understand that to the degree? We don't understand it to the degree that we need to, and that we ought to, and that we need to grow in. But many of them don't understand that in the sense that they are not at rest about that. They're not at peace about that. They feel that there's something I might do to mess this all up, or there's something I might fail to do and it not happen for me. That because I miss the mark, or I come short, I sin, I transgress, I could be eternally cast away from the Lord. Either the fact that I've been fooled the whole time and don't have any salvation, because there's some that go that route, and there's others that say you have it, but you can lose it. And either way, you're still in trouble, aren't you? Whether I've never had it, or whether I could have it and lose it. Well, the fact of the matter, if you've ever had it, it's everlasting life. And I remember Brother Forrest many years ago talking about that, and he says if it's everlasting life, by the very definition, everlasting life means you can't lose it.
Right.
Somebody said, can you lose everlasting life? Well, if you could, it wouldn't be everlasting, would it? It's everlasting. I thought, oh boy, that makes so much sense. How come I hadn't seen that all a long time ago? But it's helped me to think about, you know, can you lose your life, eternal life? Not if it's eternal. You can't lose it. There is a joy and a rest and a peace that God's own children can enjoy today and not enjoy tomorrow and miss it. There is a laboring that you and I are told to do in the Word of God, a laboring that we're to do to enjoy the rest and the peace that God has given us here in this world, to enjoy not in order to make heaven more sure, but to make us more sure of heaven being sure. I want to be more sure, don't you, tonight? I want to rest in Him. I don't want to stand before you tonight and make you less at peace about that. And some ministers feel that that's their goal, that's their challenge, in order to make those that are comfortable in their congregation uncomfortable. Rather than comfort ye, my people, I'll comfort ye, my people. It's like, can I scare them enough to motivate them to make sure they've got everything covered? And listen, if it was true that it was up to us to have it covered, that would be my duty and my responsibility tonight. But what have we just said? What the Bible teaches is that every one of God's children that are involved in the foreknowledge, in the calling of God, in the predestination of God, are involved in the justification, which means you have been reconciled to God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the propitiation for the sins of the world. Not everybody in the world, but the world of His elect, the world of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And for those He gave His only begotten Son for, their salvation is secured for them. And God will make the inside of the walnut good.
That's right.
You know, that's where a good walnut comes from.
Right.
Now cracking it open to see what's in there doesn't make it good. It's either good or it's not. It just allows us to see what's in there. Once you crack it open, it's already what it is. And the good ones, every good thing comes from where? Comes down from heaven. Comes from the Lord. It comes from the Creator of the heavens and the earth. It comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It comes from the one that loved His people and that died for His people, and He works a work of grace in them, and he does that which they cannot do for themselves, and He gives us a what? He gives us a treasure. There's a treasure in a what? In an earthen vessel. This old earthen vessel at times looks like a mess, doesn't it? You know why? Because it is a mess.
Yeah.
It's old flesh. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. When God looked down from heaven upon the sons of men, He didn't see some of them doing real good. He saw there was none good, no, not one. He lays it out in Romans 3 of how bad we really are. We're bad from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, from the inside to the outside. And that's not a pleasant message for the world. As a matter of fact, that'll run a whole lot of people away. You tell them how rotten and no good. Jimmy said, I'm not gonna make you happy. I knew y'all would be all right with it. Y'all have heard this before. I've heard how rotten and no good I am. And that's exactly where you and I would have remained had it not been for the work of grace on the inside of us that was done by Almighty God, that the preacher cannot do, that the Sunday school teacher cannot do, that we've never been charged to do because it was never left up to us.
Right.
We weren't sealed to do this, but he was.
Yes, sir.
He was able to do something in you that only he could do. And he did that. And I want you to rest in that tonight. And the scripture here tells us to rest in that. He said in verse 9 of Romans of Hebrews 4, he said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, what rest is he talking about? He'd already told about some rest that were found over in the Old Testament. We know the children of Israel were in bondage in the land of Egypt. And the Lord delivered them from that bondage and brought them out and sent them to the land of Canaan, a land that flowed with milk and honey, and there was a rest that they were going to find when they entered into that land of Canaan. And many of them didn't get that rest. They didn't enter into that rest. Though it was given unto them, they failed to enter into it because of unbelief. Now some would say, well, see, that means that eternally you might miss heaven. That wasn't a picture of heaven. That's a picture of the Lord's church. It's a picture of the Lord's kingdom. It's a picture of the rest that God's little children find when they quit trying to do what they cannot do,
right,
and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for that which was needed to be done, that they could be with him in glory. And then they rest in that finished work, and then they take up their cross, and they labor to enter into that daily rest where I'm looking to him and lean upon him for every day that I live.
That's right.
Now, I need him. You don't need him. You need him right now.
Right.
Every one of us tonight need him right now. And when tomorrow comes, you're going to need him for tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
And when the next day comes, you're going to need him for the next day. Right now, you might not be in the storm. You might not be in the contrary wind. You might not be on the ship trying to get to the other side. But believe me, as sure as we're in this world, in a sense, we're in the ship. And there's going to be some toiling that we have to do. There's going to be some laboring that we have to do. We're going to be rowing, and we're going to be rowing. And sometimes it's going to seem like our ship is going to go down because the wind is contrary. When the Lord told us to get into the ship and go, he knew the wind was going to be contrary. But he told us to do it anyway so that we'd have our eye upon him and our trust in him and our dependence upon him. And he allows and suffers the wind to come so that we'll see, I can't make it. Have you figured it out? I can't make it without him. I can't make it tonight in my efforts to try to preach. I can't make it tomorrow in my efforts to try to be a good granddaddy to my grandkids. I can't make it when I go to the doctor. I can't make it when I talk to my brethren. Y'all know what a mess I am when we get in the flesh. Those who haven't seen that, you just haven't been around me enough. And if I haven't seen it in you, it's because I haven't been around you enough. Sometimes we get to thinking, well, that brother says just walks on water. I'm going to tell you what. A brother, there was only one that could walk on water, except Peter was able to walk on the water. But Peter didn't do that by his own power or by his own might. I'm telling you what Peter did. He looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he looked to his rest. He looked to him, and he leaned upon him, and he was able to do what the Lord told him to do and step out of the boat and go to Jesus. And as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on the water. Isn't it good to have a God big enough to help you do that when you need it? Brethren, you and I need him. And if we ignore him, he will chasten us. He will correct us. He at times will grievously chasten us. Not out of anger, not out of wrath, but out of love, because he loves you. He loves us. He loves his children with an everlasting, unconditional love, and you will be with him in glory. And he has commanded us to praise ye the Lord. He didn't say it was a suggestion. It was a commandment. It wasn't like, okay, you can if you want to, or you can if you don't have to. Now there are times that he will suffer you, like the young rich ruler, to walk away.
Yeah.
He told him, you follow me. You take up your cross. You sell all you have and give to the poor. And take up your cross and follow me, and you'll what? You'll have treasure. You'll have treasure in heaven. I don't believe he was talking about you get home to glory and you're going to have a bigger stockpile up in eternal heaven. You know how we're going to get home to glory? Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know what merit we're going to have that gets us there? It won't be the Lord Jesus Christ and what Gary Utes did, and it won't be the Lord Jesus Christ and what you did or what I did. It'll be the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. He is the propitiation for our sins. He's the one that bought the price. He paid the price. He's the one who is the source of our rewards in heaven. So all the rewards that we have in heaven didn't come because we earned them. It was like He won the prize and then turns it over and gives it to us. Y'all see that? He gives it to us. So are there rewards in heaven? Yes. Those that He earned and those that He merited. Because if we got what we deserve, we wouldn't want what we deserve. We will be blessed to have what He deserves. And therefore, there's not going to be just a little cabin over in the corner over here for brother so-and-so and then a mansion over here on this side for sister so-and-so or whomever they are. As a matter of fact, any good you see in any man, any woman, any boy, any girl came to them by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. And God forbid we would give man the glory for any part of that. And if we're not to do it down here, do you suppose for a minute we're going to do it in heaven? And I hear some people talking about when we get home to glory, and the Lord's almost like He's going to hand out a special stickers and rewards like a school teacher might do for that good behavior and all of this. I want us to understand and see that it was all in Him. So that we realize if I get theirs, what is it, Brother Terry? I'll take my crown that He's placed upon my head and I'll cast it at His feet, because all the glory and all the praise and all the honor belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
And if that's true about heaven, surely it ought to be true tonight when we gather here. He said, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." That means let us trust in the Lord tonight. Let's lean upon Him. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. If I start trusting in myself or some other thing I've done, then I will lose the sweet peace. I won't lose my eternal home, my eternal rest, but I'll lose my timely rest being able to be at peace tonight. And I've spent some hours there. I hope you haven't. But I know some of you have, where you tossed and you turned and you worried, am I His or am I not? Where that verse that you said, brother, breaks your heart, causes you to worry, comes on your mind and you wonder, am I His or am I not? And the good news is tonight, if you have that burden in your heart and you have that desire to be His tonight, that's an evidence that you belong to Him. Not because you made yourself get that, but you got that because He's worked that in you, and that's an evidence of you're His. Heaven's going to be your home. Now, what does that mean about today? If He's given me heaven, we've already heard it tonight, preached April. He's given me heaven. Surely I ought to live for Him. I ought to live to honor Him and to glorify Him, and I surely ought to look to Him. And that's what the rest of this is about. He says, "For the word of God is quick." That means it's alive. And oh, we could just may just stop right here. "For the word of God is quick. The Lord is." You know, when you get to the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." You could stop at the first three words. "The Lord is." I don't want to stop there, but you can just look at that. The Lord is. The Lord is quick. That means He's alive. This is the Word of God that's alive. It's not talking about your Bible.
Right.
It's talking about the Word that Brother Jimmy pointed out in 1 John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." That means He's the source of our life. He's the sustainer of our life. That's what He said when He told them, "I am the bread of life." The bread of life wasn't from the loaves and the fishes that some of them were after. Because "I have meat that you know not thereof." I mean, In other words, the bread of life was in him. The bread of, he's the source of our life, and he's the sustainer of our life. And he says the word of God is quick and he's powerful. Tonight when you pray, when you and I pray, we could never approach the Lord or talk to God the Father, because our sins would have separated us from him were it not for the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of God, who's quick and powerful, and he's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And he is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Can you see here that he can see inside the walnut? Can you see it? I can see it. He's a discerner. He understands. And when someone said, well, maybe this is talking about the written word of God. Listen, the next verse tells us it's a he. He's got the word of God is a he. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And that means you and I are going to have to deal with him. It's good to deal with him. It's pleasant. The praise in the Lord is pleasant. It's comely. It's you know, it's better. A day in his courts is better than one day, than a thousand anywhere else. All things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. What it's saying to you and me tonight is he sees you. He sees me. He has always seen us. He's always known us. Over in that wonderful 139th Psalm that I know is so familiar to you, the very first few verses of that Psalm, just reading it, he says, O Lord, there's David saying, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest, that is, surroundest my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue. But, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Can you get outside of that? I'm telling you, that's being in the watch care of Almighty God as his little child. And verse 6 says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I can't attain unto it. That's why my mind is getting boggled down right now, just to think about all that God knows and all that God has done. And that's the mighty God that we look to for our day-to-day life. Sometimes I'm so afraid. If God is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? If God is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? So when I get fearful and I get afraid and I get in doubts and I get in all concern, it tells me that I'm off track and I've not lost my eternal home, but I sure have lost some of my rest. And oh Lord, as the psalmist said, create in me a clean heart and give me a right spirit. That didn't mean get me born again, because we've been born again. That happens one time. But Lord, convert me. Bring a conversion experience upon me so that I will be trusting and leaning upon thee more and more, that my trust will be in thee. He says, this is the high priest we're looking to. I want you to see we don't have a little Savior. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us continue to express our faith and our trust and our belief in him. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, he understands whatever it is you're going through. You know, sometimes you and I just would like to talk to somebody that would understand. When you lose a good friend that you've talked to in many years, over the years, and you like to call him up and talk to him and he's not there, you miss that person a great deal, because you always felt like he understood you. Even when, isn't it good to have somebody who can hear you and understand you even when you don't get the word right? If you have a companion like that, it's a great blessing. If you have a friend like that, it's a great blessing. But the good news is, God's little children, we all have someone who knows us better than we know ourselves, who always knows what you say and what you need. And when you don't even have the words, he'll give you the heart groanings that are necessary, that he hears it and he will answer it in accord to his good and holy and righteous will, and he will not withhold from you a single good thing that you stand in need of. Now, he may not give you what you want,
right?
Because sometimes what we want is not a good thing.
That's it.
But he will give you every good thing that you stand in need of. That sounds like a reason to say hallelujah tonight, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And he says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points he was tempted like as we are. No temptation has ever come upon us that he was not faced with. The only difference between him and us in that direction is that he never transgressed the law of God in a single incident. If we look at his life as the perfect example, we can always follow what Jesus says. That's why we're to follow him. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That means see what he did, see how he talked, see how he responded, and learn of me. And ye shall find in that experience, you'll find rest unto your souls. In the verse 16, he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Any good tonight? We're in a world full of trouble, but we surely are not alone. We've got a Lord who's bid us to come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. What are you going to find at the throne of grace? I can find mercy. You need mercy tonight? You surely do. You can find it by going to the Lord. Come unto me. He's merciful. And you'll find mercy, and you'll find what? Grace. I need grace. And that grace does what? It helps you in the time of need. Somebody said, well, I'll wait till the time of need and then I'll go. I want you to know you're in the time of need right now. And if you feel like that, you really need it.
Yes, sir.
You go. You lean upon him. The one who's bid you to come, he's bid us come. The hymn writer said it, just as I am, with every one plea, but that thy blood was shed to me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lord, I come. That's not talking about a dead alien sinner coming to God for life. It's talking about a little child of grace that's born of the Spirit coming to the Lord for rest and for peace and for joy and for comfort. May the Lord bless us to find that as we live in our lives. We've got a friend in Jesus. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and come.